Welcome to Torah Titimecha, Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be learning Yeshayahu Perek Tet Zayin, Chapter 16. Now, as we've mentioned in the past few podcasts, the prakim that we are in the middle of are part of a section called the Masa'ot, where Yeshayahu, like other prophets, has nivuah that relates to other nations. Perek Tet Zayin specifically continues the Masa, that's what these are called, that's directed towards Moab. So Tet Vav was about Moab as well, and this Perek will close that piece. And just a little side note, these Masa'ot can be somewhat daunting. The language is very poetic, and sometimes the focus on other nations as opposed to Am Yisrael can feel less relatable. But I'll say that I have found them to be very rich and interesting once you delve into them. So I appreciate your sticking with me in these. Okay, so this perek can be divided up into four sections. I'm following here the divisions of the Dat Mikra, the Perush of the Dat Mikra by Amos Chacham, which is also just an excellent Perush. The first section would be the first five psukim, Aleph through Hey, which is the calls of the Moabites to Am Yisrael, and specifically to the king of Israel, to save them in their desperation as their land is destroyed. The second piece, which is one pasuk here, pasuk Vav, is a pasuk of reflection. And it's a pasuk of reflection about why all of this is happening to Moab. And that's something that runs through all of Navi, this idea of midah keneged midah, for the good and for the bad, that things that happen to people are a result of their actions. And here what's targeted against Moab is the ga'ava that they had. And I'm going to read one pasuk here, which is pasuk Vav. Shamanu ge'on Moab, gei me'od, ga'avato ve'ge'ono ve'evrato, lo kein badio. And this states, we've heard of Moab's pride, how haughty Moab was, the pride, haughtiness, and arrogance, and how everything he said was not really how it turned out to be. And there are five different descriptions here of the arrogance of Moab. And it really points a finger to the arrogance that Moab had in their high point and how this has disintegrated, and that this, what's happened to them, is almost a result of all of that arrogance. And this is something that we saw when we explored last perek, Perek Tet Vav, where we looked at the writing of the Meshech Steel, which was written in 840 BCE, roundabouts, and written by the king of Moab, King Meshech, and it was the incredible arrogance of that stone that discussed all of his achievements and focused on himself, focused on the word Anochi, I. And this here seems to again point to that, perhaps that point in time, all the arrogance of Moab and now the resulting destruction. The third section of this parak is really beautiful, exquisite poetry that juxtaposes the joy that used to be specifically in the fields of Moab during the harvest, and how now that has all fallen apart. And these are really beautiful and poignant psukim. I want to read a few of them to capture that moment, because it captures almost like the more mundane moments of the life of the farmer and how now those are lost. So I'm going to read from the middle of Pasuk Tet, and then Pasuk Yud, but Pasuk Tet, the middle says, Ki al kitzech ve'al kitzirech heidad nafal. And kitzech and kitzirech are talking about the harvests. Kitzech, perhaps the harvests that were done in the summer, the kites, and kitzirech, all the kitzir that was taken in then. And perhaps this was the harvest of the figs and the grains. And heidad is the shouts that people had at that time. And heidad nafal, now all of those shouts are gone. There's no more cries of joy during those summer harvest months that used to be so indicative of what was happening in Moab. And then Pasuk Yud continues and says in a similar vein, Vina Esaf Simcha Vigil Min HaKarmel. So all of the joy is taken away from the Carmel. Ubikramim lo yirunan, lo yiroa, that all the shouts of joy, the cries that were part of those summer months of harvest that were happening in the kramim, in the vineyards, those are no longer happening. Yayin biyikvim lo yidroch, no longer is wine being made in the wine press. Hadorech hedad hishmati, and also the person who would press that wine, the person who was the dorech, who would crush the grapes and create that substance of the wine, no longer is he shouting out hedad. And interestingly, the Radak points out very beautifully on Pasuk Tet, the words ki al kitzech ve'al kitzirech hedad nafal, that the shouts have ended from the harvests of the summer. And Radak says, during the time of, here actually I'm going to read it to you, bizman haktzia ba'u alehem ha'oivim ve'hedad hu lashon kriya. And Radak points out that this idea of shouts is also the shouting of the enemy. When they would come suddenly on the city, they also would shout. So the shouting is indicative of the war. But then, but it's also the sound of those who were working in the wine press. So the shouting actually captures very poignantly the joy of the summer harvest and also the pain and the anguish of the sudden coming of the enemy. It closes, this parak closes with two very interesting psukim. And this pasuk Yud Gimel says, Zeh hadavar asher diber Adonai el Moav Me'az. This is what Hashem said to Moab way back then. And then Yeshayahu continues, Va'ata diber Adonai le'mor b'shlosh shanim kishnei sachir v'niklak vod Moab b'chol ha'hamon harav b'sha'ar ma'at mizar lo kabir. So Yeshayahu continues there saying, but that this, everything I said so far, those are the things that Hashem said about Moab long ago. But now, what I say now is that in 3 years, Moab's population will shrink and only a small remnant will remain. And this brings into question whether the nevuot that Yeshayahu said about Moab up until this last pasuk were perhaps a quote of an earlier Navi. Right? Maybe Yeshayahu is not saying his own prophecies, but he's perhaps quoting a Navi who came before him. And now he's adding on to that and saying, and I add to this, that in 3 years, through the hands of Assyria then, just if we root this historically, Moab will be destroyed. And there's a debate whether these earlier, like these Nivuot of Moab, are things that Yeshayahu took from a different Navi, or whether perhaps these are Yeshayahu's Nivuot from earlier. Maybe they were from more of the beginning of his time, perhaps from the beginning of King Ahaz, and then this later Nivuah is from something that he said later, which is just a fascinating concept that in general the Nevi'im were aware of each other's Nivuot, and Yeshayahu can perhaps be quoting from an earlier Navi. Now, so just to close, this ends our Masa on Moab, the oracle that Yeshayahu delivers about Moab. He starts out with Moab's cries for salvation. He discusses then the arrogance of Moab in their days of, you know, of joy, in their days when they felt powerful and ascendant. Then he closes the parak by juxtaposing the joy that Moab used to have and now the crying over the, you know, the ending. There's no more shouts of joy. Perhaps as Radak alluded to, there's only shouts of the enemy as they are destroyed. Just to close, actually Naomi Shemer beautifully built a song on the poetry of this parak, which first of all is just exciting that somebody knows this parak, which is one of the more obscure prakim in Yeshayahu. But the song that she wrote is called Atzuv Lamut Be'emtza HaTamuz. It's sad to die in the middle of Tammuz. And I think this really resonates now as we hear this during the summer months. We're currently in the month of Sivan, and Tammuz is around the corner, and it is a beautiful time. And what Naomi Shemer is capturing here is that same juxtaposition between a time period that's a time period of beauty, a time period of fruitfulness, and the juxtaposition with death, which is an ending. And what she does is, the opening line of each paragraph is that line, Atzuv lamut be'emtza ha-Tammuz. It's so sad to die in the middle of the summer in Tammuz. And then she ends each paragraph with a quote from this perek, which we read, Va'al kitzech v'al k'tzirech hedad nafal. And from your kayitz, your summer months, and your harvest at that time, there's no more cry of joy. And just to give you a sense of what her song is like, I'm going to read you just a paragraph, paragraph or two in the English translation, and you can Google it and listen to it online. But she says, it's sad to die in mid-Tammuz, exactly when the peaches are plentiful, and just as all the fruit laughs in the basket. And here's the quote from Yeshayahu, and on your summer months and the harvests, haraz have fell. It's a really particularly beautiful song. Also, when we think about sort of the interesting way where things play out, where actually Naomi Shemer did die on Zion Tammuz. So perhaps there's a little bit of a kind of foreshadow in her song. And in honor of this perek, I actually decided to do this podcast outside, which I don't usually do because of some of the sound interference. But it really captures the beauty of what this perek of Yeshayahu celebrates. It celebrates the beauty of the time period of the land of Moab, the land east of the Jordan, and laments the loss of that beauty and how all those joyful sounds are ended, but also attributes that to the arrogance in the days of plenty and in the day of joy. So perhaps what this perek is a call to appreciate all of that beauty, the beauty that we experience now in the summer months, but never to feel arrogant about that, perhaps more to feel grateful over all that beauty, joy, and fruitfulness. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.